This morning we're going to do things a bit differently. I'm going to try and preach in under 15 minutes. Yeah. So if it gets to 20 past 11, I'll put my little clock up here. But if it's 20 past 11 on your watch, you just need to start like hollering at me and like going like this. And then we're going to stop. And then we're going to just spend some time praying for God to break in power. We're going to pray that God heals people that have got joint and bone problems. We're going to pray that God heals people that are struggling with what I'd call stress-related illnesses. That's, you know, a whole mixture of stuff, but where stress has affected your body in a mental or physical way. And then, I don't know, if we've got time, we'll go for the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. So that's where we're going. We'll see what happens. And if you're on the ministry team, I would really encourage you to just ask the Lord for some words of knowledge and share them with Duncan, and he might fit them in if God makes the day stand still for us. So Duncan's been preaching Philippians chapter 1, and if you're visiting us, we're going through a series through Philippians where we're looking at our values and our vision. And in our church, our vision is to see more people loving who more?
Jesus.
Very good. And Duncan's been preaching through seven different values. And I want to just look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, because I feel that it highlights something unique for our two primary values, which is to be a presence-centered church and to be mission-focused. And presence-centered means that we are putting God first in all things, and we are seeking to know him and enjoy him. And mission-focused means that we are looking actively to bring the kingdom of God into people's world. So that's where we're going. So I'm just going to read out of two different translations because they show a different word in each of them. So first I'm going to read in the NASB because I always like to copy my pastor, which is the New American Standard Bible. And this is what it says, Philippians 2 verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation in love, if there is any fellowship with the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion. Now, in the ESV, which is my preferred Bible, but it's not so easy to read, it says this. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy. So this word here, fellowship and participation, it's a Greek word which is koinonia, and it has three different translations. Participation, association, and fellowship. Now, they're all really important because they're about how we relate to the Holy Spirit, which is what I really want to talk into for about 12 minutes now. So fellowship, that's friendship. That's being in a unique relationship with someone. So this verse is saying, you know, if there is any fellowship, if there's any friendship with the Holy Spirit, and then it goes on to say some other things. Or in the other translation, it says, if there's any participation. Now, to participate means you do something together, doesn't it? So we could participate in worshiping God together. We could participate in a football match together. It's about doing something together. And the other word which it uses in other Bible translations is association. You know, I support Arsenal Football Club. I am associated with Arsenal Football Club. I come to this church. I'm associated with Trinity. Are you associated with the Holy Spirit? It's quite an interesting phrase, isn't it? To be associated with the Holy Spirit. So this verse for me is wonderful because it shows something of the mystery of being presence-centered and mission-focused. And if you've been in churches a while, you might have picked up that there seems to be a tension between these two types of things. When people talk about, hey, I just love God's presence, I like to sit there in this kind of like quiet moment, and it's all so still and peaceful and joyful. You think, oh, okay, yeah, that's one type of church. And then in another church, it's all like, let's do social action. Let's do something for the homeless. Let's go out. Let's make disciples of all nations. Let's do this charity. Let's feed these people. Do this, do this, do this. And you're thinking, okay, yeah, that's good as well. Oh, they're both good. But the problem is when you highlight this and you talk about a tension between them, you actually end up with a false gospel. A powerless and false gospel. Because look at this. Let's do the social action thing. Okay, we're doing the social action. We have no regard for the presence of God. What are you saving people into if you're not in a relationship with God? Charity and good works? That's not going to last very long. Or if you flip over this side and you're all about the presence of God and it's like, yeah, I love God's presence. Now, if you're in God's presence, what's going to happen? You're going to capture God's heart. And God loves people. And God wants to restore humanity. And God is desperate for them. So if you're in his presence, there is no way you're not going to end up doing mission unless you've encountered the wrong presence. So what are you encountering if you don't end up with a compelling heart for mission? Amen. The two sit together in perfect harmony. And the fact that we ever talk about attention in the church is a lie from the devil, because it makes you powerless. Makes you very powerless. And we have to be very careful in the language that we use. We must go for the presence. And when we're in the presence, your heart will be captured for mission. And when you go for mission, you'll recognize that without presence, it's not happening. Without God's Holy Spirit, it's just not going to do it. It's not going to change lives the way you want it to happen. In Isaiah chapter 6, you can read this at any time you want to, but Isaiah was caught up and he saw the Lord and he says, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to die because I'm a man of unclean lips." And then God touches him with a coal and purifies him. And then his response to that encounter with God, "Send me, I'll go. Send me." He was just in the presence and now he's like, "Send me, I'll go." Israel in the desert, they camped around what? Moses' sermons? Did they all gather into Moses' sermon? No. They gathered around a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And when that thing moved, didn't matter what time of day it was, 3 a.m, 3 p.m, early morning when they're having their porridge. Not they probably had porridge in those days. But they got up and they left. When the presence of God moved, they were quick to move. They were very quick. When Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, I think it's verse 16, it talks about the Spirit coming and resting upon him. And then it goes on in the next chapter to say, and the Spirit of the Lord, the presence of the Lord led him. And he went off into the desert. The two things go together. That's why we must know the fellowship, friendship, association, and participation of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Jesus came to die for this very thing? He came to die to set you free from your sin, and he came to die that the Holy Spirit would rest on you as it did on him. You see, if Jesus did all of his miracles, his raising of the dead, his cleansing of the leper, his healing of the sick, his dealing with epilepsy and demonic oppression and many other things, as God's Son in his own divine authority, then you have no reason at all to try and copy him, because we are not God. Yeah? Agreed? If he did it in and of his own divine power, you are completely excused from his lifestyle. Agreed? What about if he did it as a man who emptied himself of his divine power and did it in relationship with the Father, knowing the Father's will and with the Holy Spirit resting upon him? Then his lifestyle's copyable, isn't it? Amen. It is copyable. Yeah. If he did it as God's Son who had emptied himself of his divine attributes and took on human flesh and lived a life as a man, grew up as a baby that farted and pooped everywhere, and was sick probably and done some other stuff and, you know, woke up Mary in the middle of the night. If he did it as a baby with fleshy, chubby cheeks and then grew into a boy and then into a man, you know, practical stuff here. We're getting down into biblical stuff. Jesus was a man. He went through the process. He was a sweaty teenager with bad BO probably. Just need to let you know there's no deodorant in those days. But if he did it as a man, not as a woman, but you know what I mean? It's the same thing. If he did it as a human in right relationship with the Father, filled with the power of God, then his lifestyle is a benchmark. It's a benchmark. It's a benchmark. And you know what? Jesus says this in John 14, 12. And you will do the same works as I have done and greater works because I have gone to the Father. Wow, there's a scary verse. Hands up if you're doing greater works than Jesus. Oh, no one's hands are up. Hands up, we're doing the same works as Jesus. Oh, no one's hands are up. What's Jesus promising? That we will go greater. We must pursue for the more. And now let's just look at this passage in 2 Philippians 5 before you think I've completely lost my mind. Okay. Have this attitude in and of yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although existed in the form of God, he was God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death. If there was ever a verse that talked about Jesus emptying himself of his divine power so he could show you how to do life, There it is, right there. It's fantastic. So, you know, we talk about being born again. What does it mean? Being born again means you are born of the Holy Spirit. Now, because I was born of my mum and dad, what colour do you think my dad's hair is? Brown, blackish. How tall do you think my dad is? It's true. It's very true. What colour do you think my mum's skin is? How tall am I, Duncan? I'm as tall as my dad, surprisingly. Yeah, we're about an inch between us in height. There's quite a few inches in another department. We have roughly the same hair colour. We have roughly the same skin colour. I have the characteristics and the qualities of my parents. So if you are born of the Spirit, you should have the characteristics and qualities of the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you are born of the Spirit, you should be growing in peace, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, mercy. They're characteristics. You should also be growing in action, power, healing, divine wisdom, all the things that the Holy Spirit possesses. That's amazing. That's some truth to just walk out of the room with right now and just apply to your life. But let me show you a little illustration. This is not some holy water from Israel. This is actually some Hugo Boss that I quite like to wear. And when I hang out with God, when I'm trying to cultivate a relationship with God, it's like he just drops on me. And when you hang out with God, it's like he just drops on you. And pretend this is eau de toilette, Holy Spirit. And I'm worshipping him and I'm trying to cultivate that spirit. And it's just like, oh yeah, Jesus, I love you. Oh yeah, it's like I'm cultivating the presence of God everywhere. And it's on you and now you're smelling like a man if you're a woman. And it's good stuff. And it's good stuff. And this is what's happening. And you're enjoying God as you want to worship him and press into him. You know, David says in Psalm 27, one thing I've asked, one thing I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Worship, hunger, it draws the activity of God's holy presence on you. If you want relationship with the Holy Spirit, you've got to grow in worship. You've got to grow in worship and hunger. But you know what? It's not the only way. Honor seems to really work. When I recognize the Holy Spirit, everyone begins to smell of Hugo Boss. It's the Holy Spirit. Maria, you smell good. Vicky, woo, yeah. When we recognize the activity of the Holy Spirit, we all smell. Oh, sorry if you don't like the smell, but tough. it's just an illustration, so you remember it tomorrow. You know, I have found personally that when I worship Holy Spirit, when I worship Jesus, his activity happens around me in the private place. That when I'm in the workplace and it's all busy and hectic, I can recognize what Holy Spirit is doing. And then when I give honor to that, it means that I can recognize it more. And when you begin to honor what the Holy Spirit is doing, you will see more of him in your life. You'll begin to see him around doing things. You'll think, oh yeah, that's his activity, that's his ways, that's his nature. And as you honor, it's like opening the floodgate and saying, come in, come in. So the second way you can grow in your relationship with Holy Spirit, your fellowship, worship first, honor second. A great verse for that is 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, that is. The third way is a lifestyle of holiness. And I would kind of say they go in this order. You begin to worship Holy Spirit, you'll begin to honor what he does. When you honor what he does, it becomes much harder to sin, and it becomes much harder to do things that are mundane and boring. It does. Before Christmas, I had this kind of obsession of going on Facebook and thinking, oh, I'm just looking for something. I'm not really sure why I was on there, but I'm just looking for something. And I'm looking at all of your photos. And you know what? You're all putting on great date night, been to theatre, done this. None of you are saying, had a blazing argument, my kids are doing my head in. You know, none of you are doing that. You're all just putting on the good stuff. And I'm thinking, why am I on here? I'm looking for something. This is so unfulfilling. But since January, I made a decision that my phone would go off throughout the day And it goes off at 6:20. It says, worship God for who he is, not what he's done in your life. At 9 o'clock, it says, declare the Holy Spirit is Lord in your life. Declare him in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace. Declare that you will not quench him. Recognize his activity. At 1 p.m., my phone goes off and says, declare that Jesus is Lord and confess that every tongue and knee will bow down. At 10:20 at night, it says, worship the Holy Spirit until your heart is strangely warmed and then you're allowed to go to bed. Okay? That's what my phone does to me. And I tell you what, it's transforming my life and my Facebook activity has gone. And even what I watch on TV, I'm just flicking through the TV and it's not because I'm so holy or perfect or anything. It's just I'm thinking, I just don't want to watch that. So I just turn it off. And I have no satisfaction in what I was satisfied in a few months ago because the Holy Spirit is renewing me day by day. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit's activity is that its presence and the mission go hand in hand. Hand in hand. And on Thursday, not this week, but last week, I had a wonderful experience. My client cancelled. It was 6 o'clock. I was at the gym where I work as a personal trainer. And I thought, okay, I'll read my book. So I sat in the lobby and I just read my book. And I didn't want to talk to anyone. And I was having some Dave time. And I had my eyes down and I wasn't trying to do anything or be anything. I was just sat there. Book moment. You know, we've all got them. We've seen it on the tube, yeah? You can't look at someone because they're in their book. That was me. And then come out of the gym, this guy comes down and he walks up to me and says, oh, hi, Dave, how are you? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. He goes, oh, my knees hurt. Oh, there was a setup by God. My book was hosting the presence of God. I thought, if I've ever been set up by God, here it is right here. So we had a conversation about his knees and what exercises he should be doing in the gym. And he told me that, you know, he'd been in so much pain that he'd been to hospital and he'd taken some painkillers. And he was just asking me some questions whether he could strengthen up his tendons, ligaments and the muscles around there. And then we talked for a little time, 20 minutes or so, and I said to him, oh, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. I said, great. And you know when you pray for a non-Christian, they always keep their eyes open. When you pray for a Christian, it's like this. When you pray for a non-Christian, they're like that. So I just put my hand on him, and it wasn't the most elaborate or best prayer you've ever heard. It just went something like this. Jesus, I thank you. Sorry, what's your name? My name's Omar. Oh, great, thanks. Jesus, I thank you that you know Omar and you love him. I pray you'd heal his knees and I pray that you bring strength into them now and I pray that he would know you and your love. And then my 7 o'clock client walked in and it all got a bit awkward and I was like, oh, pants. I didn't say amen. I need to go now, bye. So off I went and trained my 7 o'clock client and then and I was thinking, oh, God, I need to see this guy. I need to see him before next week. And on Thursday, I drove into the car park and lo and behold, he was coming out in his car. And I said, stop. Need to speak to you. And I ran over to his car and I just said, oh, how are you? And he said, oh yeah, I'm good. I went, what do you mean, are you good? How are your knees? And he said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to be jinxed. When you can't jinx the work of Jesus, what's happened? And he said, well, you know, they're better. And I went, what do you mean better? Give me, I wanted something off him. And he said, well, last week, let's say the pain was at a 10. I was like, okay, that's good. We're talking numbers now. Fantastic. What's it like now? It's like a 2-3. Praise the Lord. You know, God had just dropped into his world. And it means when I see him next time, I can say, that wasn't me, you know. That was Jesus that healed you. It was the presence of God. He, the Father, has created an encounter through me reading a book to lead this guy to an opportunity to receive Christ. Healing's great. Salvation is much better. And that is now an opportunity and an open door. I believe God wants to do the same thing today. I believe he wants to heal people today. I really believe that he wants to go for bone and joint problems, where you've got restricted movement. So now we're just going to do it, and when the kids come in, we're going to carry on, because if the kids see miracles, it's good for their faith. Okay? So, hands up if you have any bone, joint, muscle problem with restricted movement or pain. 1, 2, 3. Okay, just look around, there's quite a lot of numbers. Keep the hands up. Hands up. Okay, now all of you people stand up. Just to let you know what's going to happen, they're going to stand up, you're going to pray for them. When they begin to notice God's spirit on them, and they're going to have to test it out, you know, they might have to run, they might have to do some laps around the cinema, you know, we're going to see whether God moves. So just if you're around these people, or if you're not, go and get around someone. I was going to ask you to lay your hands on them. It's a prophetic sign. And you just need to say, what is wrong? And they need to give you a 2 or 3 word answer. We don't need a long sentence. Okay, and hopefully now you found out what's wrong. Just pray, just say, Jesus, heal this person, and just pray the power of God to touch their life and fill them with his presence. Father, we want to thank you that you are a good God, and your name is the Lord who heals. And over every person that stood up now asking for you, God, to come and break in their life, to come and deal with their pain, to come and increase their mobility in certain joints. Lord, we declare your kingdom come, Lord God. Your kingdom power come in their lives. Your will be done in their lives, O God. We release healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word says in Matthew 18, we bind up all that is unlawful and not permitted in heaven, which is sickness, disease, and pain. And we speak healing in the name of Jesus. We speak life. We speak health. We speak power, oh God, over these people. Amen. Okay, if you've got a problem in your joint, you need to test it out. There's no point just being prayed. You need to wiggle that arm, shake that leg, go for a run. You need to do something that's going to make it tangibly noticeable whether you've been healed or not. Okay, could all the prayers sit down? All the prayers sit down and all the people that got prayed for remain standing? Could all the people that prayed sit down and all the people that got prayed for remain standing? Okay. That's good. It's always a bit that absolutely terrifies me, but in faith we're going for it. Hands up, or just do some sort of waving like this if you have any noticeable difference.
Well, I noticed my needle finger, I couldn't move it anymore. Sorry.
Good. Come here. What happened with you? Okay, come here. Anyone else? Okay, you need to grow in understanding how God works, church. Oh, here, yeah, what? Your foot. Okay, come to the front. Okay, the power of testimony releases the more of God. So for all of you people that got prayed for, Maria, because she's just testified to God's power, is now going to pray for you.
Well, this morning, I'm wearing your shoes and I lace up shoes, and I could not lace up my shoes because my middle finger wouldn't move. And when I tried, it was very, very painful. And after the prayers, I started moving it.
Right.
It's
great.
Still a little painful, but at least I can move it. Can you see?
Great.
I can bend it.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Just pray for everyone. Just well, one hit. just a quick one. But
as it happened to me, believe what God teaches you. What he promises, is also delivered.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Great. Just want to explain exactly what happened.
When one of the guys was praying for me there, so I just feel the laryngism behind my muscle, so my leg is a lot of lights, and there was actually. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's great, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I don't really know Arthur that well. So I'm not going to embarrass him, but should we just stand here? We thank you for his testimony, Lord. We thank you for the testimony of your healing power. And we want to speak more healing over these people here, Lord. These ones that, Lord, have not received healing yet, Lord, we decree and declare. We recognize you're doing something in this building right now, God. And we speak faith and we speak wholeness and we speak healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated. I just want to explain. What's your name, by the way? Blessing, Dave. Lovely to meet you.
Hi.
Great, fantastic. You want to just share what happened?
My knee was hurting, and then the lady over there prayed, and now my knee doesn't hurt, and
Wow. Now
my ankle stopped hurting when I came up here.
Wow, amazing. Cool. Thank you. Take your seat. Okay, does anyone else have any leg problems? So if you haven't got a leg problem, you can sit down. Anyone else with knee or leg problems left? Yep, okay. Come on, church, let's just pray for these guys. Just do it from your seat, stretch out your hand, and we'll just pray for these, and we'll believe the Lord for more of his activity in our midst. Father God, we want to thank you for what you've done in Arthur's life, what you've done in Blessing's life, and what you've done in Maria's, Lord. We thank you that you are present here, O King of Kings. And Lord, we want to speak healing over Marco, over Jill, over Joy, over Mandy, over Duncan, and over Kenny. Lord Jesus, we come and we say, come and bring healing right now in your precious name. Amen. Thank you very much, church. We're going to continue to do this until the kids come in. And if it disrupts the service, well, God's here, so who cares? This week I've spent quite a bit of time in prayer. You might have gathered. And I really feel that the next thing the Lord wants to break in on is, you know, because we live in London, life's quite stressful. Yeah, it's quite hard, isn't it? And I'm just aware that there's just a lot of stress-related problems, whether it be physical or mental, people dealing with depression, stuff like chronic fatigue, and all kinds of stuff where, you know, stress in the body is causing damage of some nature. And I'm not having it. Because, you know, in heaven, none of that stuff exists, right? None of it. We agree? Are we in agreement, church? Okay, cool. So if any of that kind of stuff is going on in you, you know, maybe it's lack of sleep. You know, that's another one. You know, you're designed for rest. Okay? You're designed for rest. You need to know that. So if any of that stuff is going on with you, could I just ask you to stand? One. I know there's more of you, so you just stand up, otherwise I'll start calling you out. Duncan, you need to apply the word of God to your life. Don't shoot me or sack me. I know my review's coming up soon. Okay, so these guys, it might be a bit personable what's going on in their life, so, you know, maybe don't ask them, but just go and stand around them, or if you're near them, just go and lay hands and just pray that God will break in. Yeah, yeah, okay, so you can sneakily stand up, okay. Kids, if you've just come in, it's great to see you. We're praying for adults, and if you like some of the adults that are around you, you are most welcome to pray for them, okay? So just get round the people that were stood up. They might want to wave their hands so you know who they are. And just to encourage you in your prayers, I'm going to read this great passage to you. This is what it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because the Lord has anointed you to bring good news to the afflicted. That's who you're praying for. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favor of the Lord. Lord, that's what we're doing this morning. We are filled with your Spirit, O God, and we are proclaiming your goodness and we are declaring your kingdom, O God, over those who are afflicted in any and every way. God, we pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we come against depression, against insomnia, Lord, against chronic fatigue and every other type of illness that would set itself up against the people of God. In Jesus' name, we speak healing, we speak faith, we speak life. Amen.